come to the motivation. So the motivation is quite simple. You know, I'm an amateur for photography, and so I've spent much time learning something about colors. And I think the knowledge about colors is quite useful. So maybe if you have spent some time on photography, you may find that sometimes you want to get some colors for your picture, but when you print it out, the colors just change it. So how does it come? And so here are some questions that we may look into. The first is about the photography. You may encounter some problems that you do, need to deal with colors. And sometimes you may also meet a question of how do you adjust the colors that may make the picture look more beautiful to your eyes. And there's also, you may think of this question. You know, suppose you may think of such a situation. You have a picture on the screen, and it looks just like the real things to you. But if there's a dog or a bird sitting in front, does the same picture appear still as the same real world to them? And from another aspect, I think the colors is something like a natural dimension, because in this dimension we can include a large amount of information in it. Okay, let's proceed to next. So there's a question here. Oh, okay, let me just introduce what I'll talk about in this presentation. I want to discuss the formation of colors. How does colors come about? And then how do we control colors when we are dealing with images? So this has a close relation to photography. The formation of colors. There is a preliminary question of how can we measure colors? It's not a thing like lens or something, but ordinarily when you consider colors, you may relate it to wavelengths. Every wavelength has a typical color. So a color is something like something linear, and you can attach a number to it. So is it such simple? But when you consider from another aspect, we all know that colors have some, there are some preliminary, primary colors from which we can mix them and produce some other colors. So generally, there are three primary colors. And should we think that from this aspect of view that colors should be something like a three-dimensional space? So there's some something ambiguous in here. But in actually, color does not equal wavelengths. There's much more richer content in here. And to name an example, for the color white and black, there's not such a light that have a specific wavelength to it. Corresponding to it, we may see that this character appears black, but there are just no such light. It merely is because there are a great many amounts of lights around it that this appears to be black. So to look into the formation of mechanism that lies behind the formation of colors, we need to look at the structure of human's eyes. Actually, colors does not exist in the real world. It forms just because that our eyes receive it and our nervous system process this signals. So for the first stage, the light enters into our eyes, and there are just some special cells in our eyes. There are mainly two types of this. We call it photoreceptor cells. One is like a rod, and another kind is like cone. And the colors, the formation of colors is related to these cone cells. We have three kind of pigments in our cone cells, and they have different response to color to the light. So we may look at this graph, and the x-axis denotes the wavelength, and the y-axis interprets the strength of the cell's response to a typical wavelength of light. And we may see that under the three lines just corresponds to three kinds of pigments. And they have different, when the light enters into the cell, the photons will couple with the pigments and pass their energy to the photoreceptor cell and stimulate signals. But for different pigments, they respond to the light differently. And there are some specific wavelengths that this response will reach it reaches its peak. But the pigments does not correspond to a response only to a specific peak. Generally, there's some kind of patterns of distribution, and the three kinds of distribution will overlap with each other. So in this sense, colors is not absolute. To understand it, we can say we can make a pure red color, and when it enters into the eyes, it will stimulate, create some signals in one of the pigments. But we may also create another kind of pure color, say green, and when it reaches some intensity, it will create the same amount of responses in the same cell. So if we only look at a single signal created by the photoreceptor cell, we may not distinguish what color it is. So this is the process how our eyes process the light and create the sense of color. And the first step occurs in the photoreceptor cells, which I've illustrated before. And after this process, there are three signals created corresponding to these three kinds of pigments. One is the, I think someone have say something like this before. So I use the three letters S, M, large, L to denote these three signals corresponding to the short wavelength, middle wavelength, and the longer wavelength. And these are the three signals that encode the primitive information our eyes receive from the light. But this is not the final image that occurs in our heads. After this process, it will enter some other cells. The dipolar cells will pass the information in front to the ganglion cells. And the interpretation of the image mainly occurs in these cells. And in these cells, there are a class of cells called parvocellular. And there are two processes that are very important occurs here. The first is it will compare the L signal with the M signal, these two signals. And it is responsible for the red-green difference. And the second process, it will compare the S signal, the shorter wave, with M and the L together. And the green plus red will create yellow. So it is responsible for blue-yellow difference. And this whole process is called opponent process. It says that the color forms in our nervous system in some antagonistic manner. And we do not interpret colors by the absolute value of the signals here, but we compare, compare signals from different channels. And it is this contrast that creates the sense of color. So basically, we have two pairs of contrast colors. One pair is red and green, and another is yellow and blue. And so there just some exist some colors that we cannot see. They cannot exist. They are the reddish green or greenish red, yellowish blue or bluish yellow. We just cannot see it ordinarily. Now the question comes. When we say we know this projector, it just creates three kinds of lights. But how do we simulate the image of the real world, which covers all the wavelengths, but still makes the image look like reality in our nervous system? So, hoping out. I'll now go quickly. And the method is that we can create some color space. We introduce some coordinates and with a pair of numbers and mapping it to the signals at this stage. And looking into this process, we know that if we can, by inputting some kind of patterns of light, and if we manage to create the same signals as here, we succeed. So this is what we do. People have created several color models to to store the information of these colors and to reproduce it. So since time is limited, maybe I need to. Okay. So I just come to the middle. And this is how color forms in our nervous system. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ennis, sorry.
So much information with the slides, and it's very good to have just one question, only one, if anyone.
No one else.
Can anyone else?
Yeah.
Ask them, Pavel, ask a question. Okay, Pavel,
please.
Go ahead.
Why do company logos look the same all over the world?
Why
do company logos look the same all over the world?
Compare.
On your introduction slide.
Yeah, you know, for natural light that enters into our eyes, see this real world, it contains lights of all wavelengths. So there are a great amount of information. But for such image that is created by the projector, it has only three wavelengths. Mm-hmm. So the information is greatly reduced. And it cannot fully reproduce the real image of the real world, but we still need to store and reproduce as many information as we can to get a better feeling for the real world. So there's some need that we look into this problem and compare how the how we can manage these three lights to make it more similar to the real world.
Okay, let's thank.
Thank you. Oh.
So the next speaker is Yvonne.